The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
You basically lost two All-Ireland down in one season. It's only 9 months since we lost the last one.
Only Mayo could lose two All-Ireland in one season.
Yeah, that's going to be cool, isn't it?
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Harriet Pryor of the Anfield Wrap is with us. Good morning to you, Harriet. How are you getting on?
Good morning. I'm very good, thank you. I can tell I've been on a European night at Anfield, but I feel good this morning.
Okay, well, that's good. What are the telltale signs, as a matter of interest?
Just a little bit. No, I feel all right. I wasn't out till too late. I was very responsible. I've got work today. But no, we had a very good night last night. It was just great to be back at Anfield. It feels like it's been a really long time just waiting for a return to normality. And I think obviously the Premier League, that's been amazing to go back, but it just hits a bit different with the European night at Anfield. So yeah, very, very happy indeed.
Particularly one with a come from behind victory. That's the hallmark of those great European nights at Anfield. And it was all there. Everything was there.
I know, it really was. I was saying last night, I was doing a post-match show and I was saying I felt every single emotion during that 90 minutes and it had all the highs and all the lows. And reflecting, it probably would have been nice just to sit there and have a nice, easy 2-0 or 3-0 win. But that's not a proper European night, is it? It was great that we came from behind. We had that mad 5 minutes where it seemed to just all fall apart. And then going into half-time, I was a bit concerned. But then we came out second half fighting. And I think after Salah missed that penalty, he was like, I am coming out and I'm scoring in the second half. And that's exactly what he did.
So when the penalty miss happens, what's Anfield like? How quiet is it?
You know what? I think I don't know how many people have been to Anfield, but it is one of the best places in the world in terms of getting behind their players. And obviously it goes a little bit moody for a few minutes, but then we're all just singing Mo Salah running down the wing and trying to get behind him and pick him back up. I think the atmosphere sort of dipped more when they did score the two goals in quick succession, but it did feel like a blow because we went 1-0 up and then I thought we really needed to build and get that second goal. So having a chance like that, a penalty and not taking it did feel like a missed opportunity. And it obviously did prove to be at half time, but then yeah, by the time the second half came, I think he managed to pick up his spirits. I think Klopp probably had a word with him and he was all right.
You guys obviously have your finger on the pulse of what the fans think. What do the fans think is the best team at the moment, particularly from a midfield perspective?
I think it's really hard because there was a lot of talk basically about the squad depth and whether we need to bring in more players and over the transfer window. And actually in midfield, it is one of the places where we can bring in different options and it does seem to work. But yeah, I think it was interesting last night that we didn't see Thiago until much later on in the game because for me, that midfield three of Thiago, Henderson and Fabinho was the one we all wanted to see last season and the one we thought would be our strongest. And we sort of haven't seen that as much. So yeah, we went with Keita last night and I think you just adapt to your opponents and they all bring different challenges. And I all credit to AC Milan. They came to Anfield last night thinking they would pick up 3 points. And I think that the logic with bringing Keita in was someone that would run at them and sort of provide a different challenge and one they maybe wouldn't be able to prepare for as well. And obviously it paid off. I thought Keita played well. But yeah, I think for me, I would like to see a bit more of Thiago Henderson and Fabinho in midfield and then see if they really are our best three.
Obviously, everybody has endless faith in what Klopp is doing. Do you think Klopp has decided what his favourite trio is?
You know what? I don't think he really has because I don't think there is one that will fit every single game. Like when, you know, we're going to Norwich next week in the League Cup. He's not gonna start playing those players, is he? And he's not gonna decide they're the best three for those opponents. So I think he was playing Harvey Elliott, though, wasn't he? And no one would have said at the beginning of the season he would have been one of the favourites and the first to go. And obviously, we've had the blow with him and the injury. But I don't think he knows in any given match who he really thinks the best three are. But I think he tries to just adapt it to the opponent and the challenges that they bring.
Can I ask you about the Trent Alexander-Arnold playing in midfield for England? And it seemed like that caused befuddlement and amusement amongst Klopp and the Liverpool fans in particular. Why so? I mean, full explainer here. I didn't watch that game. And I've definitely heard Trent Alexander-Arnold touted in previous years as a future midfielder at Liverpool and indeed England. So why now is it completely off the radar?
I think from a Liverpool fan's perspective, when you have the best, in our opinion, one of the best right backs in the world doing what he does and his role is very specific. It's not sort of a traditional fullback role. the idea that you're moving him in position somewhere that he's never trained and never sort of played before. And I get that it was a good game to do it in, and I think a lot of Liverpool fans are happy that it happened in a game that didn't have any sort of repercussions on us. But why would you move him? And I think that's what Klopp found quite amusing, because he said he's so good at what he does. Why take him out of that position? The logic I understand, because you're thinking maybe in midfield he'll get more time on the ball, he might be able to impact the game a bit more. But for me, the joy of him playing fullback is that he has the best of both worlds, and he can have that sort of extra second to be able to look up, take a bit more stock of what's going on the pitch. And in midfield, you're crowded straight away. You don't have that extra time on the ball. So where we play him and where we use him at Liverpool allows him to have his creative flair and step into those positions when he needs to. But it doesn't necessarily mean he needs to start there. So it's an interesting one. And maybe his game will develop over the years to come, and we don't know that. But for right now, I think for us Liverpool fans at least, we definitely just want to see him playing at right back. And I think that he should be playing that position in England, and that he's good enough to be playing that position for England.
What's your view on that, Kenny? Because there was definitely a school of thought when he broke into the Liverpool team that he's getting game time at right back at the moment to get him game time and to give him experience of playing in these big games. But ultimately, his best position is going to be in the middle of midfield, because he has a skill set that very few people actually have.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily see that. Evolution, I agree a lot with Hardy said there. Clearly his best position isn't that right back area. Coming onto the ball, you can see all the play on your inside. He's been hugely effective in that respect. I didn't, a bit like yourself, Jay, I didn't understand the conversation around the England scenario. It was kind of totally different. A lot of games in different days, he wanted to get minutes on the pitch. Clearly he's reasonably comfortable in that area of the pitch. I don't think it was a big statement from Southgate that I see him.
And maybe in a tournament you might need him at some point.
Yeah, so I didn't understand the furority around that. I know a couple of Liverpool supporters are a little bit sensitive when you bring up the subject of Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm at the moment having an argument, Harry, not an argument, a conversation with a Liverpool nut, and there's many of them about that right back position, Trent, and is he the best fullback in the world? But of course the discussion usually breaks into, well, let's break this down. Is he the best attacking fullback in the world, and likewise is he the best defensive fullback in the world? And if you're going to regard yourself as the best right back in the world, you have to look at and talk about both of those aspects to your game. And even the game last night, Harry, if you look at assessing the two of the goals, they can see that the area of the pitch where they came from. It is amazing when I look at Trent sometimes, and when they're in possession of the ball, Harry, and he's driving forward, he looks like an athlete. When he's linking play up and he's joining in, he's getting on the overlap, he looks like a real athlete. He runs at pace, power, and takes your breath away. We know what his delivery's like. But you have a look at him, the ball goes behind him and he's got to actually run in the opposite direction to the edge of his penalty box. He doesn't look as impressive. He finds it a little bit harder. And I just feel as if sometimes whether that kind of that enthusiasm that he has, that kind of focus and the quality which he possesses in possession, when his team is in possession, he's getting himself involved in attacking areas. I don't get a sense if he has that real kind of hunger and that focus when it comes to the defensive side to his game. I think we saw a small element of that last night in terms of how they conceded the goals, and also previously. Now this isn't like let's jump on Trent Alexander-Arnold like instead throwing punches, but I think it has to come into the argument in terms of when you're assessing someone as being the best right back in the world. Why isn't he playing for England? It's a joke that Southgate doesn't play him. There's clearly reasons why Southgate doesn't play him, and I think it is the defensive aspects to his game and those kind of concentration levels and decision making when he's in and around his own penalty box. Don't know how Harry feels about, or how Liverpool supporters, if they're that blinkered or that blinded by the qualities which he has, that they won't even engage in a conversation that, you know, attempts to maybe criticise him ever so slightly in terms of that part of his game.
I'm happy to engage in a conversation 100%. I think there's a few things for me, and the first is that when you're talking about him being the best, I think we're talking about a very specific role, because let's not get this wrong. He has redefined what it means to be a fullback, and there's that famous Carragher quote: "No one grows up wanting to be a fullback." And I think with the introduction of Trent and Robertson and what they've done in the context of that position, people do. And I don't think any of us are blinkered for a second. I think we're all very happy to be critical of our own players and look at areas that they can improve. Obviously, one that you've mentioned there and picked up on there is his defensive abilities, all I will say is the style of football that we play is riskier in terms of in terms of they play a very high line. That's why we have the holding midfielders Fabinho and Henderson dropping back a little bit so that they can provide the cover for Trent, because we allow Trent and Robertson to push forward, and that's just the style of games that we play. We know that that means maybe one time out of 10 he will get caught out on the defensive duties, but that's the kind of risk that we take, and that's the game style we play because of how many chances and opportunities that he creates. And that goal last night wasn't given to him, but we all know that that's Trent's goal and the one that he created. So I think that honestly that is just the style of football we play. And then on your point about England, and if he was the best right back he would be slotting into the England side, I think you can't compare like for like because they just play two completely different styles of football. In my view, Southgate, for all his great sort of assets, he doesn't exactly know how to use Trent, and that's the thing. He's not sure what to do with him, and that's why he's experimenting, and completely happy with him experimenting and doing what he wants to do. But I don't think you can talk about he should definitely be getting his position in England, because they just don't play the same style of football that Liverpool do. Sorry, and I don't think they want to either, because I don't think that Southgate's going to put an England team out that plays such a high pressing attacking game, and that is more risky and leaving a few more holes in defence. But yeah, I'll stop in a minute, but I've just got to defend him, because you can't say a guy that young, you know, with a Champions League medal and a Premier League medal, it's got too many flaws. I think we all back him, and we know that he is capable both going forward and tracking back and defending.
Well, Jimmy Traore had a Champions League medal. I could pick a few flaws in his game as well.
The Jimmy Traore is definitely comes up in these arguments a lot. Who's better than Kenny? What right backs are?
Could I ask Harry one more thing? Just change the conversation a little bit. What's the consensus amongst Liverpool supporters in terms of Jurgen Klopp binning those traditional glasses that he used to wear? Because it's a really unusual sight now. That camera goes in close on the touchline. It still throws me that I don't see those bins on his head. I don't know what it is. It's just I haven't quite adjusted to it.
None of us are used to it. Yeah, I think it's going to take a little while to get used to. But to be honest, I think he broke these glasses so many times in celebrations that he thought, I just need to get rid of these. I need to do something about it. So I think he used lockdown as an opportunity to sort something else out, another option. So it's taking a bit of getting used to. But if that's Klopp's new look, then we're all behind it.
It's a bit like Trent's crossfield passes. Those raking 50-yard passes. It's a given. You know what I mean? Klopp's glasses, look, like, they're in those bracket.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean?
As the glasses were, are you jealous about what's going on at the club? Is that it? Harry, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Before I let you go, actually, I did want to ask you about the women's team. There's significant investment and hopes that they're going to be able to make it into the WSL with promotion. A lot of Irish interest, obviously. Niamh Fahey, Megan Campbell and Leanne Kiernan at the moment. Fahey sent off at the weekend, so things not going brilliantly at the moment.
I think, to be honest, there's such a change of personnel and with the new, the returning manager, Matt Beard, coming in, we all knew that it was going to take a little bit of time for him to be able to put his mark on the game and to be able to make an impact. Things will continue to progress. I think they've had a first few tricky games. I've been to the first two home games at Prenton Park, and obviously they won away from home, but they've not done as well at home yet. So there's been some really bright performances, though. I think Rhianna Dean is a new player, a new striker that's come in, and she's looked really promising. I think there's a few other players on the pitch that look like they've been brought in for a specific reason, and they're doing really well. So I have faith in them. Obviously, we all know the goal is getting them back in the WSL. That is where they belong. And it's a real shame that they're not there, and you have the men's team who are winning Premier League trophies and Champions League trophies, and the women's team are getting relegated. It's not a great look, obviously, and I think that the club have recognised that, and they are trying to put more investment into the women's team now, and hopefully it does pay off. But I think we expect it to take maybe a couple of seasons rather than an immediate solution, bringing in a new manager and loads of new players and thinking that it will all just click, because I think we know from experience that sometimes it takes a bit more time.